Amen. Thank you, preacher. I'm glad the Lord doesn't make us stay at home on Friday night, live a boring life of a Christian, never having any fun. If you're not enjoying your Christianity, it's your own fault. You're not doing something right. And you probably got an idea what it is. So you already know what you need to be dealing with so that you can enjoy your Christianity like some of the rest of us. Nuts. All right. I know you're shocked, especially Brother Vlad. I turned it on my very own self. 18 years in evangelism, and I still need to be reminded to turn the mic on. Probably because I'm so soft-spoken. Good to see some folks from Hastings here tonight. They're all praying they don't hear something they heard last week. I got bad news for you. I got a repeat joke. Here we go. This is the psychiatrist's helpline, hotline, whatever you want to call it. Some of you probably know exactly what it is. I don't know. But if you call it, and I don't know their numbers because you'd be Googling it or something while I'm talking. But if you call it, it says, hello, welcome to the psychiatric helpline. And it's got a answer machine like everything does these days. It says, if you are obsessive compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. See, I knew I was in the right place. I didn't even know what that meant. If you are codependent, please have someone else press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, delusional, we know who you are and what you want. Just stay on the line because we are tracing this call. No, I'm not going to say it. Okay. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. And of course, my favorite, if you are manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press. Nobody wants to talk to you anyway. I like that. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. All right, we've had a good time so far. Well, good. I was hoping it was just me and my wife, but I'm glad someone else has. We talked about endangered species, and, you got the point. And then we talked about judging righteously, and that ought to be our desire. Amen. We owe it to the Lord. But tonight, we're going after some deep, deep stuff. So I'm glad you're here. And I hope at the end of this hour or so, you're glad you're here. So get your pens and papers out. And there will not be a quiz afterwards. Genesis chapter 1. Look with me in verse number 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. I don't know how I made that into a two-syllable word, but I did. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 23, in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So something significant happened on the fifth day. God brought forth life one of the things that he brought forth that's significant in the passage, repeated, mentioned in verse 20, 21, and 22, is the fowl. foul. All right? So, I'm going to give you a definition of that. And I know you know, but this is fun. Watch. Foul is a word for birds in general, but usually refers to birds belonging to one of two biological orders, namely the land fowl and the water fowl. Studies, translation, your money, studies of anatomical and molecular similarities suggest that the two groups are close evolutionary relatives. What? The waterfowl and the landfowl, anatomical and molecular similarities suggest. I don't know how much they spent on that, but I could have saved them a boatload right there. Yeah. I said, yeah, they look related to me. Amen. Now, here's where I'm going with this. And I searched hard for a text, and that was it. I noticed a sudden interest in ducks recently. Now, maybe some of you are duck hunters. I imagine you may very well be up here in the land of however many lakes you have. I don't know. But I wanted to mention this before I proceed with the message that God made them. God made them on the fifth day. And he chose to let them survive the flood. So that means there was two on the ark. Male and female. All right? Amen. All right. I'm just trying to help you. So, it seemed like a while back. I don't know how long ago, but it was a while back where everywhere you go, you'd see Duck Dynasty stuff. Duck Dynasty. I don't have a television. I had no idea what that was. And I walked in a Walmart one time, and there's life-size cutouts of these guys, big beards, camouflage, sunglasses, looking cool, looking tough. I immediately didn't like them. Well, I thought they were bikers. I mean, they looked kind of like bikers. Amen? And so, southern bikers, because of the camouflage, I guess, but I didn't know what the deal was. I didn't know anything about Duck Dynasty or Duck Commanders. That doesn't even make sense. But I never paid any much attention to them. I could not imagine Dave Spurgeon running around town with a little duck on his t-shirt. It doesn't work for me. Glad we took the offering first, because I probably alienated somebody by now. Amen. But I never paid any attention to them until I heard that they were making the atheists really mad because they prayed over their meal in Jesus' name. Now listen, I can slice and dice doctrinally all day long, but just personally, anybody that makes atheists mad, I'm okay with. Well, they make me mad. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't witness to them and all that, but how much foolishness is that? Well, that's a good word, isn't it? The fool hath said in thine heart, and in his heart, I think it says, there is no God. So, I heard that this Phil Robertson guy made a big ruckus over a magazine interview where he started talking about, you know, are we on the internet? Do I care? Amen. We start talking about what the Bible says about homosexuality. And he made everybody mad. And they set him up. They asked him his opinion. And they knew exactly what he was going to say. And I like that too. Because I really appreciate, because you're watching now. You're talking multi-million-dollar industry. And they want to fire the guy. And I was waiting to see what his family is going to do. Because people will do amazing things for that right there. And they stuck by him. They said, okay, well, if you don't need him, you don't need us either. That is interesting. Amen. I like that. I had never seen it. My wife never seen it. Never had any desire to see it. We're down in Florida one year in the winter. Okay. And we're evangelists. Amen. And some friends told us that it was funny and that it was clean and everything, and okay, so we're down, way down there, below Brother Barnett, and we're in a place, we're in a little campground, there's nothing to do, nothing going on, you can't get a signal, amen, we went for fun. We went to a Kmart. I didn't know they still had them. So I said, well, let's go in there, you know. And we do. And my wife, she'll deny this, but she's the one that pointed out that season 3 was on sale. And we had just heard about it, so I, out of her allowance, I bought it. I went back to the motor home, I stuck it in, and I sat there mesmerized for over 2 hours. Episode after episode, and I thought, oh, you gotta be kidding me. This is the best thing going, which didn't surprise me much. I almost OD'd. Yeah, I'm telling you. Now I know why they dish that out 30 minutes at a time, because it's ridiculous. We were at Pastor Grissom's church last week. I think it was last Sunday night, and we had a guest. And he had a camouflage hat, T-shirt, shorts, tennis shoes or sandals, whatever, glasses, everything. He's sitting right there in church. And he's singing along, and I mean, he had a good spirit. I talked to him after. I didn't really know what the deal was. But his name was Jason. I introduced myself. And when I got in the pulpit, I said, I'd like to welcome Jason Robertson from Monroe, Louisiana, for joining us tonight and just see what the guy was going to do. Did I lose you guys on that one? It was funny, wasn't it? You folks from down at Berean. All right. And we're on the same page. All right. Moving right along here. Brother Bierman's going, oh, I don't believe we drove 3 hours for this. Oh, it's about to get better, maybe. We're talking about that duck and that fowl, and that includes ducks. And over there in Genesis chapter 1, now you know what a duck is. And now you know, if you had any question, you know who made them. They didn't evolve. Lord made them. Fifth day. Amen. So since you know what the duck is, you know some things about them, and like I said, some of you up here may know a lot about them. Amen. Maybe duck hunters, that's fine. Tonight I want to introduce you to something else. I want to introduce you to the decoy. To the decoy. Hey, yeah, she's getting better, ain't she? Amen. Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. Okay. All right, so let's talk about that decoy for a second. Now listen, ducks and decoys are very similar. Similar in size, shape, and color. Now I know this is not a real decoy. I live in a Winnebago. If I had life-size illustrations, I mean, I'd have to have a trailer behind the Jeep. Let me give you an update on the Jeep. I went there this morning, and the blown engine was gone. It's sitting there ready to drop the new engine in. At 5 o'clock tonight, I got a call from the mechanic that says the new engine has been delivered to the shop and is going in the morning. That's prayers. I can't get a starter change that fast in Ohio. Amen. So I don't want to pull a trailer behind my Jeep and my Winnebago, so I have reduced size illustrations. This represents the decoy, and they're similar, and sometimes, even though they look a lot alike, sometimes the decoy looks even better than a real duck. A real duck is subjected to the same things that, well, the rest of us are. Wind and weather and cares of this life and aging and sickness. And sometimes they get, well, they get a little rough around the edges, but not the decoy. That baby's been traveling with me for a while. Looks just as good as when I got him. Amen. And besides, if he did get a little rough around the edges, a little touch-up paint, he'd look as good as new. Decoys look good, and sometimes maybe even better, but they're not ducks. Though they're similar, there's some major differences between the duck and the decoy. We are one fine-tuned machine, ain't we? So let me give you some, let me give you some of the differences. Number one, there's going to be scripture. Just relax. Friday night. Calm down. Ducks love water. Ducks love water. Somebody nod your head or something. Yeah. Amen. Or I'll start over. Ducks love the water. My little girl and I, the one who used to come up here, Evie, we go down to visit my mom and in Tennessee, my mom and dad, and there's a lake out there at Davy Crockett State Park, and there'd be all these ducks, and my mom would save up an old loaf of bread for when we'd come, and I'd take her down there and stand on the side of the pond, and there'd be a bunch of them at the lake, there'd be a bunch of ducks there, and she'd start throwing bread out there, and boy, they would, they'd all come in. But listen, we didn't go down to the park, we didn't go downtown to the square to feed the ducks. We had to go to where the water was because ducks love water. They're comfortable in it and around it. They look for it. They long for it. They enjoy it. You know why? They were designed for it by their creator. And they know they need it to survive. Decoys. On the other hand, amen, decoy doesn't care about the water. I mean, amen, they're made to float around, but they could care less. If they're on the water, if they're laying on the floor of the boat, decoy doesn't care. If he's in the trunk, he doesn't care at all. Although they're similar, there's a big difference. A duck loves water, but a decoy, come on, let's face it, doesn't care. Doesn't care. Not only does a duck love water, but they just don't float around on the surface. They dive in. They dive in, and they don't just dip their nose in, buddy. They dive in, and they dive in deep. They get all the way in. I preached down there in South Florida for a dear friend of mine, Pastor Ted Hines, right there on Lake Okeechobee, big old lake, and there's ducks down there, gators too. Yeah. One time I watched a duck go down, and he stayed down so long, I was pretty sure a gator had him. Amen. But eventually that duck came up, had a big old fish in its mouth. You know why ducks dive in? They love the water. They're designed for the water. They dive in deep to be fed. To be fed. Amen. And they don't just dive in deep to be fed. I've been there and watched them. Whatever they bring up, they would feed their little ones. They would feed the little ducks with what they got when they dove in deep. And they don't just dive in deep to feed themselves or to feed their little ones. They dive in deep to teach their little ones how to dive in deep so that one day when the need comes, when the time arrives, they can feed themselves. Decoys. Decoys don't dive in at all. They have no desire to. They just sit on the surface, float around. But, you know, in all fairness, they look pretty good. Pretty good doing it. Just sitting there on the surface, not doing much of nothing. Amen. Don't care nothing about the water at all. You realize tonight, I hope you get it, where I'm going here, the Bible likens the Word of God to water. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, he said that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And I got to tell you tonight, if you're saved here tonight, you are designed, amen, for the water of the Word. You should be comfortable in it and around it. You should look for it and long for it. Amen. Because you're created for the Word of God, and you need it as a child of God. You need it to survive. Amen. You need it to survive. But I just got to tell you, traveling around the country, and I run with the best of the best. I really believe that. I got some dear friends. I know some many, many real Christians. But at the same time, I go to churches, and there's some folks, they remind me more of the decoy than they do the duck. Amen. They're not diving around. They're not interested. They're just sitting on the surface. Amen. They don't get excited. Amen. I'll tell you, it's sad to me. Too often it doesn't matter what's said. Doesn't matter what's sung. Doesn't even matter what's preached. Doesn't even matter if the Holy Spirit's moving and people are being touched by the Spirit of God. It doesn't even matter if people are getting saved. There's some folks that claim to be saved, and boy, they're not interested in the water. They're not interested in seeing, in doing any diving themselves. They're just floating around on the surface. What a boring, monotonous Christianity that would make for. You know, the message tonight is duck or decoy. And maybe the underlying question that I might throw out to challenge you is to ask yourself, whether or not you're a duck or a decoy. Yeah, in some area that maybe the Spirit of God will bear witness to. Duck or decoy tonight. Number one, ducks like the water and they dive in and they get fed by it and they're comfortable around it. But that decoy, boy, I'll tell you what, maybe at a distance, maybe at a glance, it looks like a duck, but it's not a real duck. And the first reason is it could care less about the water. Ducks enjoy being around other ducks. Ducks are not loners. Amen. They don't fly south alone. They fly in flocks. Amen. You ever see them together like I was describing that lake where they're in a pond or a lake together? Man, they enjoy their own company. Amen. They're not in that chicken yard. Amen. Them ducks are out there floating around, playing, chasing, hanging out with other ducks. They enjoy being around their own kind. Decoy? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Couldn't care less. Amen. I was at they call it an antique store. You know what it is, though, right? Junk flea market thing. And I don't even know what I was in there for, but I was in one, and there was, I'm talking about a burlap bag, probably this tall, and it's full of decoys. There must have been 20 of them in there. And they're all in there. They're probably old. And they're just bag tied up. And you know what my first thought was? Boy, that'd make a good illustration. I could set them around. And my second thought was my wife would kill me. So that canceled out the first thought. But I tell you what I did. Here they got all these decoys. And they're in close proximity. And they're all in this bag. And I stood there for a minute as I pondered those two thoughts. And I never heard a peep out of any of them. Never heard a word. They weren't talking to each other. Amen. They weren't. They could care less. Decoy doesn't care nothing about being around other decoys. Amen. Let me just say, come on. Christians are supposed to enjoy the fellowship of one another. Dr. Eckman said years ago, fellowship is a bunch of fellows on the same ship. I thought, that's profound. That works for me. If you want to go to the Greek and get on a Greek ship, that's your business. I don't think it'd change anything. Amen. So if you're saved, you're on the old ship of Zion. Bear with me. Amen. And there's a day when you are floating along in life's tumultuous sea. That's right. David Spurgeon said tumultuous. I can't spell it, but I said it right. And you are going down once. And you're going down twice. And some of us maybe are going down for the third time with a lungs full of seawater. And here that old ship come by. And the captain looked out. And he saw us in a dire need. And he changed course for you and I. And he turned that stately vessel around. And he came back our way. And he threw out that life preserver. Amen. And I tell you, you're talking about the guy was in Lutheranism and the guy was in Catholicism. He didn't need to get into Salvationism. Amen. Amen. And but I'll tell you what, the Lord threw out that lifeline and you had enough sense to get a hold of it. And maybe the first time when you were young, maybe you just decided you was going to do it your way a few more times. But I tell you, hey, if you're saved tonight, if you're on the ship of Zion, sooner or later you got a hold of that thing. Hey, listen, the captain pulled you on board. He's the one that changed course. He's the one that stopped. He's the one that let you in. He pulled you up on board. And when you got up there, guess what? You weren't alone. There's a whole bunch of other fellows on that ship, too. And they got there the same way you did. I'm going to tell you what tonight. We were designed for fellowship with one another. Amen. Listen, it makes sense to me if ducks like being around other ducks. If ducks weren't designed by their creator to be loners, listen, doesn't it make sense that you and I were designed to enjoy the company and the fellowship, amen, of one another? Listen, God didn't save you and design you to be a loner either. Amen. So if you don't like being around other Christians, you seriously Now, I know some Christians are weird. I get that. We're at a church somewhere. I don't know where, man. We're all over the country. And we spent a week there, and you know, I'm from Ohio. Okay, we're talking about, that is the most normal place in the world. It really is. We're in the Midwest, man, and amen. And so we're somewhere, and I told my wife, okay, I'm from Tennessee, but she's from Ohio, and we're leaving, and finally, at the end of the meeting, and I said, you know, that was a good meeting and everything, but I said, those people are a little different, a little strange, aren't they? You know, and, you know, in Jesus' name, I wasn't being critical, but, you know, my wife said, she looked at me and she said, well, let's face it, everybody can't be perfectly normal like Dave Spurgeon, you know. Yeah, and I agreed. I said, yeah, well, you're right, honey. Amen. But listen. This is the beauty of what I see traveling around, man. As different as we are from coast to coast, north to south, listen, if you're saved, we got something in common tonight. Amen. That man far overshadows cultural differences, man. We're washed in the blood. They say blood's thicker than water. Yeah, you got that right, buddy. And I'm glad tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And I've been around a little while now, and I think I said it, I was in the paratroopers, and I was in motorcycle gangs, and I've been trying to live for Jesus Christ for over 24 years, and people like to bring out, especially people that aren't walking with God, like to bring out that Christians aren't perfect. And no, they're not. I went by a church in North Carolina one time. It says, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't come here. Yeah, because the implication is the minute you walk in the door, it ain't going to be perfect anymore. Did you catch that? No, you guys are... Okay. Christians aren't perfect because of the... because we're people. But I'm going to say this to you. This is the best crowd I ever run with. Amen. In my 62 years, this is the best crowd I ever run with. We are created to encourage one another and to pray for one another and to love one another and to exhort one another and to comfort one another and to forgive one another and to forbear one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing down here while we're asking God for opportunities to be a vessel meet for the Master's use, man. This isn't loose cannon. This isn't lone gunfighter. When you got saved, buddy, you got into something. You got into something, and you're a necessary part of it, too. And everybody's got something they can offer. Man, I'll tell you, let me just say it again. I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Ducks like the water. They love it, man. Decoys, they don't care. Amen. And ducks being around, like being around other ducks, but decoys, they don't care. They don't care. I tell you what, ducks look out for one another. Amen. They don't just enjoy one another's company. They look out for one another. Boy, if a duck gets sick, and they get sick too, and if a duck gets sick and has to crawl up on the shore, man, other ducks will come up and try to, well, for lack of a better word, minister to it. That means help. Amen. They'll make sure it gets food. They'll try to protect it. Can you imagine a duck trying to protect another duck from a fox? But they'll try. Boy, they'll get them feathers out. They'll make all kinds of... I've got to give it to them, man. They got heart. They may not have teeth, but they got heart. They might have teeth for all I know. When's the last time I got that close to a duck? I don't know. Amen. Decoys, though. Ducks like to fellowship one another. Decoys could care less. Ducks look out for one another. Decoys. Well, you're getting a picture. Let me try. Here's what I'm trying to say. We're talking about a comparison between the duck and a decoy and a real Christian and the phonies. Now, so in the comparison, they look very similar. They look alike. Amen. But they're not real. They look real, but they're not real. I hope you're real tonight. I'll give you credit. You're in church on a Friday night. Amen. But there's a lot of folks. There's millions of folks in this country that go to church religiously. Amen. I feel sorry for them because if somebody doesn't reach them with the truth, it's not going to end well. I hope it's going to end well with you tonight. Amen. Let me say something. We're not in competition with one another. We're supposed to help one another. Amen? All right. Ducks are controlled by, well, for lack of a better way to put it, I mean, I want to say it this way. Ducks are controlled by the man upstairs. In other words, their creator over there in Genesis chapter 1 has given them instincts. Amen. God-given instincts to help them survive. Ducks know what to eat and what not to eat. Amen. Ducks know who and what to be aware of. They know where to go. They know where not to go. They know when to fly south and when to fly north. They got that. Kind of like evangelists. Yeah. We studied the duck and said, the duck said, hey, evangelist, Ray Charles can see you head south in the winter. I said, yeah, I'm getting it. Decoys are not controlled by the man upstairs. They're controlled by someone behind the scenes. Amen? I was looking at one in the antique mall, and it had a little place, and it had a string on it, a fishing line, and they're connected. Am I doing that right? No, don't correct me while I'm preaching. Amen. Amen. And that eventually that line goes to the blind, and there's somebody in the blind controlling that decoy, and they'll pull on it, and they'll move. You hear me? You know, there's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of people that claim to be saved. Amen. And maybe some of them are. Maybe most of them are. I don't know. But they're actually have given control over to somebody behind the scenes rather than being guided by their Heavenly Father. Too many Christians know more about Hollywood and the music industry and sports and are all caught up in the news media. And all those things have way more influence on them than the Word of God does. People say, well, doesn't all that stuff going on bother you? I got saved in jail wearing a blue jail outfit. I thank God I wasn't in a jail that had the orange. That would have been embarrassing. I'm in jail. I have no money. I have no nothing. Nothing. The feds took more stuff from me than some people ever have. And I'm on my way to federal prison the rest of my life. And a guy comes in and says, I don't know what you're in jail for, you guys, but if you die in your sins, you got bigger problems than the penitentiary. And I'm thinking, thanks, man. That cheered me right up. Appreciate it. Amen. Say, what's your point? That's where God found me. It's been up ever since. It's been getting better ever since. What in the world are you going to threaten me with? They're going to come get us. I went, sure, it wouldn't be the first time. You can survive that stuff. But what if they kill us? Seriously? I don't know what you're worried about, but I'm not worried about it. Because I'm giving control over, just like we've sang, to the man upstairs. Who's controlling you? Amen? I'm talking tonight about ducks and decoys. I'm going to make you sit in the front row if you don't get on the ball. No, I can't make her do anything. I'm glad she likes to go with me. Amen. Amen. If I tried, she'd say, I've been saved 20 years longer than you. I've read the Bible 400 times more than you. I've been at 16 years of college. What is it? What did you say, Mr. Spurgeon? Yes, honey. I don't know what that was in duck. Let me say this, and I'll make you believe I'm wrapping it up. I don't know if I am or not. Let me say this about decoys. They're not evil. I've been pointing out some differences between the duck and the decoy, but I'm going to be fair. Isn't that important? I want to be fair to the decoy. They're not evil. They don't even have a brain. No brain in there. Amen. They don't have a voice. Unless, you know, Mrs. Spurgeon's in the room. Amen. But they do have a purpose. You know what the purpose of a decoy is? To distract real Their purpose is to get the real ducks to get their eyes off dangers around them that their God-given instincts would have detected had they not been distracted. That's the purpose of the decoy. Let me illustrate it like this. Growing up in Ohio, we'd have the ducks flying south overhead, coming from Michigan and Canada, and they'd go right over. I lived in, grew up in the farm country, and they'd fly over, and there's ponds out there, and we'd see them all in the fall, and sometimes we'd see a big flock coming down. And did you ever notice why almost every time, I don't know what to call it, but, you know, they fly in that V formation. And, you know, I could go into how they rotate the leader for all that. Doesn't matter. But usually one side is longer than the other side. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that longer side has more ducks in it. There, I helped you there. Amen. That's deep stuff. Amen. Quit watching television. You'd figure that out yourself. All right, so picture a flock of ducks flying south for the winter, flying south, and they're in that, looks like a lot of work. And they gotta stop, and they gotta rest, and they gotta get water, and they gotta eat, and they gotta sleep, and that's all part of the journey. I mean, it's not a one-shot, non-stop deal. So, picture this, they're flying south over a beautiful pond, and there, it's hunting season, and here they are looking in. You know the younger ducks, you know what they're doing. Man, are we ever going to stop? Are we there yet? Hey, man, I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. You know how that goes. And here they're flying, and all of a sudden this pond comes into view, and it looks good. Looks very inviting. And those younger ducks, amen, they go, wow, cool, I hope we stop. Are we going to stop? And you look down, and there's little decoys floating around. A whole string of them, little girl decoys. Little boy decoys, looking real good, real enticing, real tempting. And boy, those younger ducks, when I say younger, I'm not talking about chronological. I'm talking about younger in experience, amen? And they're looking down, they're going, oh, I hope we stop. I hope we stop. Man, they're looking up ahead. That lead duck isn't breaking stride. He's not even slowing down. The younger ducks back there toward the back, and they're going, hey, man, come on, why can't we go down? It looks great. And one of the little older ducks made the trip a few times, looks back over his shoulder and says, it's not what it appears. There's danger down there. Now there's other ducks, and they want to stop, and they want to rest, and they're just as certain that it looks good and it looks safe, and they want to go down, but they have enough sense to give some credit to the older ducks that's been around a while and made the journey before. So they're not happy, but they keep on going. Those are the ones that become older ducks themselves someday. The sad truth is, there seems to always be some that say, yeah, they're just trying to make sure we don't have any fun, and it looks good to me. And then they look over at another duck, their same age, and say, what about you? That's a pretty dumb formula. Yeah, it looks good to me. And boy, there's that one. He'll break out of formation, and he'll pull out. And a real crying shame is somebody usually goes with him. And he's making his way down to that pond, and he's going to take a break. He's young, he's strong, he's smart. He's going to catch up later. Boy, and all of a sudden that guy stands up on that John boat, unloads with that 870 Remington. Kablam! Boy, and that duck hits the water. And he's lucky if he's dead. Because if he's not, then he's got a big old Labrador heading his way, splashing through the water, the big old mouth getting ready to clump down on him. Now the other ducks up there, you know, they said, see? And that guy became an illustration, but what a cost. Duck or decoy tonight. You got the message, didn't you? The real question is, are you going to listen to the voice of experience? Well, I don't understand. Amen. Some things take a while to understand. Sometimes you just got to do what you should and give some credit to the ones that have made the trip a few times. Too often, though, there's some that just decide flat out they're going to do it their way. And the crying shame is they're going to take somebody with them and destroy their testimony. That's what goes first. And maybe their life, too. Duck or decoy, don't fall for the decoys tonight. Amen. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them in the body of Christ. I don't want to ever be one. I don't ever want to be a phony Christian. That's why I stay close to an old-fashioned Bible. And I'm just as susceptible to all this stuff as anybody else. So I ask God for help a lot. Question tonight is, simple enough, are you a duck or a decoy? And be honest with yourself. And be honest with God. And if there's an area in your life, you're just playing church, I don't know how you do it. Doesn't look like that much fun to me if you're not in. Amen? Maybe there's an area in your life that really needs some spiritual attention. Why don't you give it to it? Is your relationship with the Bible what it should be? I mean, we're good at. Bless God, I'm a King James Bible believer and slice and dice and Thy word have I held in my hand that I might not sin against thee. Is not what it says. But I know a bunch of Bible believers, that's all they got. It's the word of God. Yeah, you better believe it is. But it wasn't meant to be left on your dash or your coffee table or carried in so you can better move it over. Better move it in. And you might not sin against thee. Let's all stand. You know, you look at some ducks on a pond in the fall, and they hang out and they do what they got to do. Eat, sleep, rest, play, whatever. But if you observe them a while, they take off. They got someplace to go. They fly away. You know why? Because they're alive. Decoys don't fly away. They just get thrown back in the trunk, taken home, thrown in the closet, in the dark, for a year, till next time. They don't even care. Because they're not alive. That's where God found me. In the dark. And I'm not in the dark anymore. Amen. In one of these days, and I hope it's soon, I'm going to hear come up hither.
Amen.
And I'm going to fly away.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Again, I commend you for being in church on Friday night. Some of you have been here every night. But that isn't what gets you out of here, man.
Right.
That ain't what solves your biggest problem.
Amen.
Where you spend eternity. Do some thinking tonight. Listen to the preacher. Do some business with God. Duck or decoy. Preacher.
Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes here for a moment. Father, we ask your blessing on the service tonight. And we trust that you will have your will and way in hopefully not just somebody's heart here tonight, but in all who've heard this message. I pray that you'll bless now as we look inward just a little while. I pray in Jesus' name. Just remain with our heads bowed, eyes closed here for just a few minutes. I'm asking you to turn your eyes inward. Brother Spurgeon talked about the failing last night in some regards that all people judge things and judge one another. It can be a good thing and a sanctified thing. It can be a weak thing. But one thing that some folks seem to never get around to, and oftentimes Christians seem to fail in the most, is turning your eyes inward and really, truly, genuinely considering your own self and your own heart. The Bible says, examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith. It's worthwhile to examine whether you're a duck or a decoy. It's worthwhile to examine whether you've been acting like a decoy even if you're a duck, huh? Maybe the Lord dealt with you about something inward. You can't get things right with the Lord unless you deal with something inward. Elijah went up to that mount. Lord came to him with a still small voice. That is, the voice had always whispered to Elijah. And when it whispered that day, it was still small. The same still small voice that it had always been. The truth of the matter is, if you'll be honest with yourself, you know what's wrong with you. If you're a Christian, most likely, you know what the Lord wants from you. If you're not saved, it should be plain by now that the Lord wants you to get saved and get born again. Would you consider dealing with that tonight? If there's anybody here that's never trusted Christ, would you consider coming tonight and letting somebody privately, show you out of a Bible, alone in a private room, how to be saved? Would you consider coming? Maybe you're a Christian and you have not been to an old-fashioned altar for a long time. Maybe you've never been to an altar. You ever consider coming in a semi-public scenario like this and bowing your knee to Jesus Christ and asking Him while other folks are praying around you to help you determine what you need to change to make some things right? Let's look this way and sing number 166. If you grab a songbook, the invitation is still open. I hope you'll consider coming if the Lord so deals with you. Number 166. I've been saved now for 45 years. And, you know, I used to spend Sunday after Sunday for a certain period of my life just hiding out in the invitation. I mean, I would feel guilty, know I needed to deal with something, and I would stand with hands gripping the back of the pew
In our case, it was a pew. And I mean, I would fight it and just not go. I mean, that's not what an invitation's for, to hide. Look, the Lord knows where you live anyway, right? If the Lord wants you to deal with something, why don't you deal with it? Why wouldn't you? Do you know how good... Everybody wants to feel good. You have any idea how good it feels to get rid of the burden?
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Just how good it feels to get rid of the burden. First of all, as a lost person, but also secondly, as a Christian. I spent the first 10 years of my Christian life feeling guilty and doing nothing about it. Until finally, the guilt went away. And that's not a good position. It was so good to get rid of the burden. You think about that. Let's sing the last. If there's anybody here, would you come? Say that during the end of the message there, I was searching the back index for something to do with ducks. And I couldn't find anything, so I had to sing that song. But anyway, we appreciate very much all of you being here. Quite a few visitors here tonight. Thank you for coming. Pray for the Biermans. They have a safe journey back south. The Morris is a safe journey back north. I'm presuming you guys are going home. We're not asking you to, but I'm presuming you will. Appreciate you being here tonight, really do. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. Now, 9 o'clock in the morning, ladies here. 9 o'clock in the morning, single guys at Brother Darling's house. 7 o'clock here tomorrow night. Amen? Brother Paul?
I will be here for anyone who wants to go on a visitation tomorrow at 11.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to go tomorrow, I will be here.
Sounds good. So there's some guys that are willing to go. Brother Jeff?
I'd like to know if me and Danny were thinking maybe street preaching as well at Riverdale or something.
Okay. A little street preaching at Riverdale. What time are you going to do that? After visitation or independent from it or same time or whatever? Okay. All right. There's something to do for everybody. Amen? Okay. Let's be dismissed in prayer tonight. Brother Caribou, would you pray for us?
Father, I do thank you for what we heard tonight. I pray that you help us to search our own hearts out, look inward, as the pastor said, and see if there's any area in our lives where acted like decoys, been decoys, or I pray that you'd help us to search out too if we were just playing a religious game and trying to do things to be righteous before a holy God. I pray that for those who have never truly received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray they turn away from their own righteousness and truly come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apply it to our lives, and I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to thee, because you are always faithful to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody.